I requested Brother Jellett to leave this door propped open here so that you could breathe. And I made the promise, if anyone looks out the door while they're moving, we'll gouge your eyes out. So you look at me. I'm pretty. Oh, look at me. All right. Thank you so much for your hospitality and your kindness. So very good to be with you these brief few hours. I ask you to continue praying for us, for our assembly in Danville, and for the labors and the open doors God sets before us, and pray for one another. Don't despise the day of small things. This is the day God made for you and for me. It is the day the Lord has made, and He made this day for us, and made us for this day. I am as serious as I can possibly be when I tell you that I would not trade places with any man in the world in history. I'm right where God wants me, right where God has ordained that I be, right in the time when God would have me to serve Him, and the same is true of you. Seize the opportunity God gives you for the furtherance of the gospel where you are. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn." If in your heart you can verify that statement, you're one of God's blessed ones. Multitudes. Know nothing of what it is to mourn before God for their sin, to mourn before God for what they know themselves to be, to mourn before God because you have looked upon Him whom you have pierced. Blessed are they that mourn. Our Savior said, "Blessed are they that mourn." But sadly, a good many folks seem to think, he said, "Blessed are they that mourn and mourn and mourn and mourn and mourn." That's not what he said. He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Oh, what a difference. The mourning our Savior speaks of is a mourning that leads to comfort, and comfort leads to joy. The blessed joy of faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. By all means, we ought to lament, we ought to mourn continually what we are. The evil, the unbelief, the vileness we know is in us is reason to mourn. But the knowledge of what we are in ourselves should never eclipse the blessed revelation of grace and salvation in Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Our great God, by His almighty operations of grace, by the saving revelation of His dear Son, turns fasting into feasting. He turns mourning into praise, giving joy and gladness and cheerful feast in our souls. If I've read this book aright, and in this regard I'm absolutely certain that I have, it is the intent of God the Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures. It is the intent of God the Holy Spirit by everything written in this book, revealed to us in the person of our Savior, to comfort His people, to encourage the joy of faith in Christ Jesus. Our Lord commands, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, He says. That's God's word to us. I take it to mean that God intends for every sinner saved by His grace to be filled with the joy of faith in Christ Jesus. Rejoicing in God's goodness, grace, and mercy given freely to sinners through Christ the Savior. Several years ago, a young man was visiting me from up in New York, and of course that's enough to make a fellow a little bit bitter having to live that far north, but he came down visiting us, and he was attending a church that worked on looking within a lot. And he said, oh, when we attend services, I come home every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every time we meet together, just so beat down. Just so beat down. Feel so bad. I said, why don't you quit going? I wouldn't go somewhere where I knew I was going to get beat on every time I went. The scriptures are not intended to beat you, but to comfort you in Christ Jesus the Lord, if you're His. If you're His. Our Lord Jesus teaches us then to rejoice in God our Savior. If we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, look here at Colossians chapter 1. If we're to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, if we would honor our God as His children in the world, God the Holy Spirit tells us, beginning at verse 10, that we must honor Him, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When we realize the glorious kingdom in which we live, when we have some understanding of the King we serve, of the privileges of grace that are ours in Christ Jesus, of the boundless, indescribable, infinite love of God for us, of God's free grace to us in the Savior, of the work of God the Holy Spirit for us as our Comforter, what reasons we have to rejoice in the Lord always. The Word of God does not teach us to be naval watchers, you know, to look inside yourself all the time, inspecting yourself. Examine yourselves. Do you know that's not what the Scripture says? That is not what the Scripture says. It says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Determine this. Are you or are you not in the faith? Do you or do you not trust the Son of God? If you're in Christ, you have every reason to rejoice. Christ is yours and you're His. Salvation is altogether looking out of yourself. It begins in a look, not to yourself, but to Christ. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, beside me there is none else. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That's where salvation begins. Oh, but we've got to run the race and fight the fight. Yes, run with patience the race that's set before you. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation is continual looking to Christ. Continually looking out of yourself, out of your experience, out of your feelings, out of your works, unto Christ Jesus the Lord. And salvation consummates in a look. When we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Salvation is beholding Christ the Redeemer. It's my purpose in preaching this message to entice you, to allure you who do not know God my Savior. You who are yet without faith in Christ, you who live with your fist shoved in God's face and will not bow to Christ, I want to allure you to the Savior's arms. I want to entice you to come to Christ. I want, by the Spirit of God, by the revelation of Christ in His Word, to charm you into the Savior's arms. And for you who are my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to find for yourself continual joy in Christ the Lord. I want you to behold him and to rejoice in him. I want you to, this night, find reason for thanksgiving continually before God, that we might together lift our hearts with praise to God, leave this place with praise to God, and live the days of our pilgrimage on this earth in praise to God our Savior. Now, I can think of no better way to accomplish these desires than by reminding you of five words. Just five words. You'll find them in Colossians 2 and verse 10. These five words. Ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. If God the Holy Spirit will graciously inscribe on your heart that which he has written in this portion of Scripture, so that you have some understanding, some knowledge of this blessed revelation of grace, ye are complete in him. Oh, what delight shall be yours this hour. There's no middle ground. That's the way it is about everything revealed in this book. You ever notice that? No middle ground about anything. Everything written here is written in plain, bold declarations. Ye are complete in him. Either you are complete in him, or you're altogether without hope before God. We are either made to have everything in God our Savior, everything that God requires of us, everything Christ the God-man mediator is and possesses, or we have nothing and lack everything. Ye are complete in him. Sweeter than honey, those words are to my soul. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, if you believe on the Son of God, do you believe the Son of God? Do you trust the Savior? If right now, God would open the windows of heaven and drop the pail of his grace into your soul and give you faith in Christ Jesus, if right now you believe on him, if you believe the Son of God, you are complete in him. Nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. Complete in him. Complete to the fullest, broadest, most varied sense of that word. Complete. When God pardons, there's no probation period. When God pardons, there's no probation period. Everything is yours if you're in Christ Jesus. Everything. Complete in him. Can you begin to grasp what I'm saying? What wonders of grace we have before us. Oh, may God be our teacher and inscribe his word upon us. The Spirit of God seems to have but one object in this revelation here, and giving us these five words in this simple sentence. His purpose is to cause every believing soul to look to Christ with the confident joy of faith. All of my life as a believer, I run across preachers. I did as a young believer, and some of you have, who would do everything possible to give you some reason not to walk before God with assurance. Isn't it amazing? Preachers want you to, well, sort of got a little assurance, but can't really be sure about this. That's presumption. But the Scriptures speak about coming boldly to the throne of grace. The Scriptures speak about coming to God with the full assurance of faith. Well, where do you get that? Oh, now you've got to be a really good Christian to have full assurance. When you think you are, look me up, will you? I've got news for you. You're not a good one. You're not. None of you, including the one talking to you. Yeah. Oh, but we don't mean that we're perfect or anything, but we have some evidences. If you find assurance in your evidences are false. That's exactly right. We look at other folks and see their love for the brethren, and we talk about that and say, boy, Alan, he loves God's people. That's a tremendous thing. But you start talking about your love for God's people? No, just exactly what do you call love? You know, but your love for the Savior, that's just exactly what are you talking about? Oh, no, you look out of yourself to the Redeemer, and a sinner trusting the Savior has full assurance of faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. The Spirit's intent is that we should walk before God rejoicing in His grace, rejoicing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now let's look at these five words. This will be my subject and this will be my outline. I want to milk these five words for everything I can. The first word is ye. Ye. You who believe on the Son of God. All of you. The youngest to the oldest. The strongest to the weakest. You are complete in Him. You who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You're complete in Him. You who in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you are complete in Him. You who were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You who once were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. You who once had no hope and were without God in this world. You are complete in Him. You who labor and toil in great heaviness, perplexed in hearts, vexed in your souls because of what you know you are, perplexed and grieved because of your sinful heart, your depraved nature, your corrupt lust, vexed and grieved because of your unbelief, vexed and grieved because of your lack of devotion and commitment to Christ, because of your horrid attachment to and love of this world. You who believe on the Son of God, in the midst of all your frustrations, vexations, failures, and sin, you who believe on the Son of God are complete in Him. You who groan under the conscious sense of this body of sin in which you live. You who are loved of God, chosen of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, called by God's Spirit, you are complete in Him. Now look at the next word. Are. What a strange word. Are. Are. Now, it would be easier to understand if the Scripture said, you shall be. But it says you are. You who are in Christ are complete in Him. Now, we understand, this book teaches, we have a completion in Christ from eternity. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. We were accepted in the Beloved before ever the world began. We were chosen and justified and sanctified and glorified in Christ before the world began. The book of God is plain in stating that. We understand that. But this is talking about something presently. We rejoice in the blessed hope of God's grace that soon we shall be complete in Christ in the everlasting glory of heaven's eternal home. Oh, what shall it be? What shall it be to dwell with Christ in the perfection of His own being with no trace of sin or unbelief or deceit or corruption in the sweet experience of resurrection glory? What a blessed hope. What sweet prospects. But here The Holy Spirit tells us by his servant Paul that in this present situation, right where we are right now, we have a blessedness for all God's people, for all who believe on the Son of God, that declares, ye are complete in him. No conditions, no qualifications, no prerequisites. You are complete in him. But Pastor, there are so many things required of us. God requires so much. Let me give you a lesson. I'll give you one lesson tonight. Write it down, be sure you get it. Whatever God requires, God gives. Whatever God requires, God gives. All the precepts of the law, read in gospel light, are promises from God. God said, be ye holy. And then he said, you shall be holy. God said, be ye perfect. And he said, you shall be perfect. All that God requires, God performs and God gives. So that everything required of us, everything demanded of us, everything the law demands of us, everything God in his holiness demands of us, is ours in Christ. Ye are complete in him. Everything here is grace. Free, unconditional, unqualified grace. The Spirit of God is not exhorting us to be complete. He's not telling us how to be complete or what we must do to make ourselves complete. No, he states a fact. He affirms a reality revealed throughout this book in the gospel of God's grace. He announces a work that's altogether finished, a work to which nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away. Ye are complete in him. Don't imagine that there's something lacking, some deficiency that you must make up, something you must complete. No, he says, know this and rejoice. You're full, complete, perfect in Christ. Being one with him, in union with him, you are full, complete, perfect. Now this is the delight and the glory of faith. It looks to Christ alone and gives glory to Christ alone. Faith leaves all works behind. Faith leaves all works behind and trusts him who is God our Savior. But Brother Don, don't we have to do something? No. But doesn't something depend on us? No. That which is required of us is given to us in Christ Jesus. And that which is the glory of faith is the comfort and joy of our faith. Here it is, Christ Jesus the Lord. Now look at this word, complete. Complete. It's one of those words we use so commonly that we tend to not really look at it. Complete your work. Complete the exam. That completes the project. We use the word all the time, and we don't pay much attention to it. But this word is literally bursting with meaning. As it's used here and as it's used in the scriptures, it speaks about the children of God and declares to us that that which God has accomplished for us, without our aid, without our assistance, it's a completion in which we are totally passive. I meant to say that. We're not passive about it. We're passive in it. It's accomplished without any contribution from us. What does the word mean? Ye are complete in him. How far can we carry this? I'm always being warned, don't carry that too far now, you get in trouble. I'll tell you what you can do with this book. John Graham, as a preacher, and you young men and women here who are listening, who believe God, the youngest and the oldest, whatever God says in this word, you just run as far with it as you can, and you will not outrun it. Take it just as broad, just as wide, just as full as you can possibly take it, and you haven't yet begun to understand it. Oh, but no, we got to have a balance. You hear fellas talk about having a balanced ministry and a balanced view of things. Isn't it strange how lopsided it always is? It always winds up with big me and little God. Lots of mine, little of his. Lots of glory for men, no glory for God. Oh no. The scriptures give us warrant to believe God absolutely. Absolutely. So that nothing is qualified. What does this word complete mean? The scriptures use it in a number of ways. Just listen. You don't have to turn there. In the beginning was the Word. And then John tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Complete with grace and truth. And of His fullness, of His completeness, have all we received grace for grace. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What's that mean? The whole shooting match is God's. The complete universe is His. Listen to this. The church is the fullness of Him which filleth all in all. The church is the completeness of Him who is the completeness of everything. We are complete in Christ Jesus the Lord. Here in Colossians 2, look at verse 9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness, all the completeness of the Godhead bodily. All that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all the glory of the triune Godhead is, resides in that man who is God incarnate, our mediator. In Him is all of God. That's the word, complete, complete. Obviously, when the Spirit of God says you are complete in Him, the word complete means complete without limit, complete without qualification, complete without condition of any kind, complete. Look back up to verse 6. Let's see how it's used here in the context. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? How did you receive Him? Well, Brother Don, I didn't have anything. I came to Him naked and helpless, with nothing in my hands, looking to Christ for everything. Now, how are we to live for God in this world? How are you to walk with God in this world? Oh, now we grow. I've got something in my hands, and I've got some works and some experiences. Oh no, walk in Him just like you received Him. An empty, broken, helpless, doomed, damned sinner without God's grace, having nothing in your hands, looking to Christ for everything. And when you grow above that, you've outgrown grace. When you grow above that, you've outgrown Christ, because you've outgrown your need of Him. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Watch this. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Do you mean that to be rooted and built up in Christ, to be established in the faith, is to simply look to Christ for everything? Do you remember this morning's lesson? Whatever it appears to mean, you can bank on it, that's just what it means. to be rooted and built up in the faith, to be established in the faith, to be grounded in the faith, is to look to Christ for everything. Read on. Read on. Beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here's the conclusion of the whole thing. Ye are complete in him. Nothing can be added to faith without making that thing added the object of faith. Nothing can be added to the gospel of Christ without making it another gospel. There is nothing new in theology except that which is false. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be improved upon. And those who would make it to be other than the simple faith of the gospel pervert it altogether. One of the greatest evils of our day is the attempts of men to rationalize God's revelation of himself in Holy Scripture, obscuring the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. The attempts of men to set before men things by which the very simplicity of Christ is removed. Set before men works and ordinances and preparations and doings by which they attain comfort and peace for their souls. Oh no! The simplicity of the gospel is look to Christ. Trust Christ. Believe on the Son of God. We know whom we have believed. And our hearts are filled with joy to hear God our Savior declare, ye are complete in him. Blessedly complete in him. Just as he is the fullness of God. Just as the fullness of the Godhead resides in him, so we are the fullness of Christ. And the fullness of Christ as our mediator is our fullness. Oh, my soul, believe this and rejoice. Behold yourself as God does. See yourself as God sees you and rejoice in Christ Jesus, perfect in him. I suppose most of you are familiar with the story Spurgeon used to tell of a man who was just a tinker, and he going about selling his wares, and he heard some women singing a little ditty. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. And after a while, he started to whistle the tune, and then he started to sing the song, and he just repeated over and over again, and soon the message of the song pierced his heart, and God saved him by his grace. And this is back in the days, of course some of them have started reviving it, when you had to go prove yourself worthy to be a member of the church. You know, you go and apply for church membership. What? That's another sermon. Had to go apply for church membership and see if they would recognize you as being a fit candidate for baptism. And so he went and told the pastor he wanted to confess Christ in baptism. And the pastor said, well, you'll have to come before the deacons and elders so they can examine you. And he said, well, okay. And so they set a time. And he came before the men and they started to ask him questions. He said, well, Jack, what is your testimony? He said, my testimony? I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. And this old fellow looked at him. He said, but don't you ever have any doubts? Doubts? I cannot doubt that I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, for I know I am. And I cannot doubt that Jesus Christ is my all in all, because God says that he is. But Jack, don't you ever have any ups or downs? Ups and downs? Well, I can't get any lower than this. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all. And I sure can't get any higher than this, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. And they just were exasperated and finally admitted him into the church, because Jack could not be driven from this one thing. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Can you confess such? Brother Scott Richardson told of an old lady he knew many years ago, and someone was trying to disturb her faith, the simplicity of her faith, and she kept talking about Christ and Christ's finished work and God's free grace in him. And finally the fellow looked at her and said, but is Christ enough? And she responded, if he's all you've got, he's enough. What do you have? What do you have? A profession? An experience? Well, I remember when I went to church and made my profession of faith. I wish you could forget that. I really do. I wish you could forget it. If you've got to look to yesterday to find assurance, you're in trouble. If you've got to look to this morning's experience to find assurance, you're in trouble. Our assurance is Christ and Christ alone. We are in him, our representative and substitute, and complete in him. Don't be so intent upon your own corruption as to forget his immaculate purity, which is yours. Don't be so mindful of your poverty that you forget his riches, which are yours. Don't be so absorbed in your emptiness that you forget his fullness, which is yours. Don't be so mindful of your imperfection as a fallen child of Adam, your fickleness, your sin, your frailty, that you forget his stability and immutability as God your Savior, which is yours. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. God sees us only in his Son. God sees us only in his Son, one with his Son. Shelby called my attention to something the other day when we were flying over here in Spurgeon's Flowers from the Puritan's Garden. He made the observation, I think he was taking it from whoever the fellow was, Brooks. No, it wasn't Brooks, Matt. And Matt had made the observation that once the leaven has been mixed with the dough, it's impossible ever to see the two apart. It's impossible to separate the leaven from the dough. So it is with our union with Christ. We and Christ are one. He says, as the Father is one with the Son, and the Son is one with the Father, we're one in him. So the Father looks upon us, the triune God looks upon God's elect, looks upon every believing sinner. As he sees Christ, so he sees us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you hear it, it may just shock you with delight. Folks say, well, that's the way God sees things. The way God sees things, that's how they really are. The way God sees things, that's how they really are. That's how they really are.
I'm a bit prejudiced in my thinking. When I think of womanhood, I see that lady right there. When I think wife, I see that lady right there. When I think love and devotion, that's what I see. That's the picture I have. When God Almighty, if I can use such language of God, thinks Don Fortner, all he sees is Christ his Son. And he would have me to look at things just that way. Let's see if that's so. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him.
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now watch this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Complete. Complete in him. What's that mean? In Christ, I am fully supplied with everything for time and eternity. All things are yours, for you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Does God require righteousness from me? He most certainly does. Christ is made of God unto me wisdom and righteousness. He who was made sin for me was made sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. As he was rewarded for the sin that was made his, so I am rewarded for the righteousness that is mine. For my righteousness. Rewarded of God with everlasting glory for perfect righteousness. But Brother Don, surely you don't think you're perfectly righteous. No, I don't think it. I know it. I know it. Christ is my righteousness. And that's perfect. He's my righteousness. While he walked in obedience to God on this earth, I was in him. Levi was in the loins of Abraham, wasn't he? I was in Christ, the Lord, my Redeemer, from all eternity. When he died, I died in him and satisfied the justice of God. He's made of God unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Sanctification. Oh, now, poor Brother Don. He's not a theologian, you know. He's just a preacher. And he confuses justification and sanctification. Well, bless their hearts, I ain't the one confused. Christ is my sanctification too. What is that? It's holiness. God says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord is Christ the Redeemer. And in him we are sanctified, perfected forever by him, by his sacrifice from eternity and at Calvary. And when Christ comes in us by his grace and regeneration, giving us a new nature, sanctified by God Almighty. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why did he put redemption last? Because redemption involves much more than we tend to think. Redemption is the full deliverance of our souls from sin and all its consequences by the blood of Christ and the power of God's omnipotent grace. So redemption takes in the whole salvation of God, the whole gift of God's grace. Christ Jesus is that one in whom we are well supplied. So that now we stand before God like Jacob of old when he met Esau, and we declare, I have enough. In Christ Jesus, looking on him, believing him, we look to God and the sacrifice of Christ, our mediator, our advocate, our high priest, that one who's accepted in heaven as our forerunner, screams with bold-faced capital letters, no condemnation, not guilty, complete, complete in him. And his grace, he says his grace is sufficient, whatever the hour, whatever the need. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and all that fullness is the supply of his grace for us, so that in peace and in trouble, in health and in sickness, in joy and in sorrow, in life and in death, to eternity, God's elect are well supplied. To be well supplied is to be satisfied. Satisfied. The richest, happiest human being in the world is the one who wants nothing. Who wants to, who's satisfied. satisfied.
Would to God I could honestly say, there's nothing in this world that I want. But with regard to all things spiritual, with regard to all things pertaining to life and godliness, with regard to all things righteous and true and just, with regard to all that God Almighty demands and requires, all that God has promised, having Christ, I'm completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Ready and anxious to meet my God. Completely satisfied. To be complete is to lack nothing. The Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, and Peter said, "We followed thee. We sacrificed for you. What shall we have?" And the Lord said, lacked ye anything? Lacked ye anything? And they answered, "Nothing, Lord." And looking over all the scope of God's grace and God's mercy, I lack nothing. Nothing. Completely satisfied in my Redeemer. Satisfied with his righteousness, his sin atoning sacrifice, his purpose, his providence, his revelation, his love, satisfied with him. So that although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fall, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places. To be complete is to be filled. Complete. Well supplied. Satisfied. Filled. Ye are complete. Now watch this. In him. In Christ. Not in your church. Not in your experiences. Not in your works. Not in your creed. Not in your knowledge. Not in something in you. Complete in him. Ye are complete in him. How would you like to go home tonight and lay your head on your bed and stretch out on that bed and lay down on that pillow and think about meeting God right now with no dread and no fear, with no reason for dread, no reason for fear? How would you like to be able to lay your head on your pillow tonight and close your eyes and think about judgment with this? A blessed smile of joyful anticipation in your soul. Oh, Brother Don, that's not possible. No, it's not. Not to you. Not to you. Except you believe on the Son of God. Believe him, and you will find for your soul the voice of God speak in your soul by his word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How can that be? Well, you're complete in him. Complete. Lacking nothing. Full. Well supplied.